It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaap. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4-inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. UAMS Ortho Now, open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, walk in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment is needed. Ortho Now, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to noon. Located at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. For more information, call 501-686-8674. On this edition of From the Shortgrass, I talk to the author of Level Par, How the Game of Golf Saved One Man's Life. It's written by Tom Lehman. It is a fiction book, but I'm telling you, this is a book that will make you think. And as an avid golfer, it takes you right to the course, the pressure that you feel in dealing with life's ups and downs. It's a great book. It comes out February the 17th. I'm going to sit down over Zoom with Tom Lehman. You'll hear that after the break. Stay with us.
This is Justin Akery. If hand or wrist pain is getting in the way of your daily life, it's time to see the specialists at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Their fellowship-trained hand and wrist surgeons treat everything from arthritis and fractures to nerve injuries and carpal tunnel. And with Arkansas's only hand trauma telemedicine program, advanced care is available around the clock. Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am Trey Schaap. Tom Lehman's writing career began on the sports pages of the Boston Herald. He wrote features and covered the Boston sports scene for the city's second biggest daily newspaper for 7 years. He has been published online for Runner's World, Outside Magazine, and ESPN Boston. This is his first book. It's called Level Par, How the Game of Golf Saved One Man's Life. Tom plays the game of golf, and you're going to hear more about that and Level Par right now. I sat down and had a Zoom conversation with Tom a week ago and really enjoyed our time. I hope you enjoy this interview as much as I did talking with Tom. On the tee, Tom Lehman.
Tom, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass. Do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club and tried this game out?
I don't know if I have a vivid memory of it, but I did kind of start playing with it when I was about 5 or 6 years old. My dad was a big golfer, kind of got me into it. And I remember one time we were on the first tee at Marshfield Country Club where I grew up playing junior golf. And my dad just told me to swing a little bit harder at it. I think he kind of saw that I had a decent swing or a decent grasp for what the golf swing was all about. And I just vividly remember that. And I grew up playing like junior golf, played high school golf, was decent. You know, I could break 80. I could get around and I could play. And that's kind of when I started.
High school golf, did you ever think, hey, let's try and take this a little bit further? Or when did you realize that, okay, I can't do this anymore?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Trey. So I kind of didn't play in college. You know, I kind of started messing up my life a little bit right around like 14, 15 years old, got kind of introduced to weed and booze and just never really took golf all that seriously. And then after college, I'm like, you know what? I played golf. I've done it for a long time. I have really no idea where I want my life to go. So I thought, you know, I was going to go down to Florida, and I moved down to Florida. I started working at TPC Tampa at the outside operations, and then tried to, you know, think about if I could get better and spend some time at it, maybe I would get into the PGM program. So I started to get a little bit better with my golf game. You know, I was like getting around, hanging with guys that had been down in Florida for a long time. But again, I just couldn't get out of my own way. And so I tried to, I lasted down there for about 2 years, played out of TPC, and then kind of played all over, tried to go through the PGM, you know, the playing, the 36 hole kind of gauntlet, was even par through 6 holes, and then took a 10 on a
No.
hole. Like, I just didn't know the rule that I needed to know, and just blew up from there. So very much like what you read in the book is exactly kind of what happened in my life. And then I actually developed the yips when I was down in Florida, mostly probably because I was just treating my body so terribly. And I quit golf for a long time. Moved back up to Massachusetts, became a sports writer. Was always around the game of golf, but never like was I had no money and I had no time to play the game. And it wasn't really until COVID that I kind of started swinging again, and getting back in the game and finding a love for it. So over the last 5 years, my handicap went down from a 22 to I was down to a 9 earlier last year. My best round is 73, which I was able to do 2 years ago. So I'm like, I know it's in there. I just don't know. It's not consistent enough. So yeah, it's a great game. I think like it's something that I'll always do for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you have to try to get that out. Before we get to your book, Level
Sure.
Par, have you had any golf instruction along the way, or was it just your dad giving you those tips?
I think early on I was kind of a self-made golfer. You know, my dad taught me the basics. I had a couple like lessons here and there, but probably over the last 3.5 years, I found a really good golf coach here in Massachusetts. He's a New England PGA Hall of Famer. His name is Tom Kavicki. He works out of Velocity Golf Academy, which is here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. And he's an inspiration in the book, but also like he's just taught me. He basically like gave me like a ground up approach to how I wanted to play golf again. And I feel more comfortable in my swing than I ever have. I think the results haven't really come because like I'm going through like major swing changes over the last couple of years, but there's like enough there where I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, well, I wish I had this when I was 11 years old. Like my life might have looked a lot different. Maybe there'd be some consistency to my golf game. Maybe there'd be some more discipline that I had in my game. But I found a love from it because I've worked with Tom to really understand my golf swing, but also just find a love for the game of golf again. So it's been great. And I would recommend anyone who wants is a junior golfer, like get a good coach and
Yeah.
get on that as quickly as possible. And don't try and do it alone because I think like for me, I was just such a not perfectionist, I guess perfectionist in a way, but I was always a fixer is what Tom would call me. Like I would always find different ways to hit the golf ball. And that's why I had anything that would go wrong with my golf round, like it would just take me a couple holes to get back and find a rhythm again. And that doesn't breed success in this game. So
No, it is. It can be a difficult game at times, and sometimes the game can be really rewarding. The book, Level Par, how did you come about deciding, okay, I want to write a book?
When I came back up to Boston, I actually worked as a sports writer for the Boston Herald for 7 years. So I covered everything from the heyday Patriots, Bill Belichick's like was he just I remember asking him a question and he just stared at me like I had a blank. I was that guy in the press conference. So I like I said
What question do you remember
I just
what
asked him
question you
like a
asked him?
very spit like specific question about Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. It was their second year, and he always talked about this progression that they would make from year one to year two, and that's exactly what I asked him. And it was like I was speaking a different language and like you know, that uncomfortable like 35, 45 seconds, which felt like 9 minutes. But yeah, I asked a question and then I was the golf writer for the paper as well too. So I had like a little golf column here in Massachusetts that I covered the local golf scene when the Deutsche Bank came up to Boston. So I was
Yeah.
writer for that as well too. So one of my all-time favorite things was I followed Tiger inside the ropes for 18 holes, and I'll just never forget that. It was like one of the, like a thrill of a lifetime, and I thought I was going to be a sports writer for the rest of my life. And it just as we all know about newspapers and the news industry, like it's drying up very quickly. I actually left sports writing, kind of left writing altogether, moved into more of a corporate side for the last, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. But I always had this itch that I'm like, I want to write something. I want to write a book. And as COVID happened, and as I got back into the game of golf, I started to kind of like think about how like my life was mirroring this potential journey of this character. How I think about all the things that I did in my life, the way that I didn't treat the game the way it should have been treated, the way I didn't treat myself the way I should have been treated. And you just like the level of self-respect that I didn't have for myself, but also like how do I use the game to get move forward and go on with this? So it was probably I started to kind of spark that idea in my head in 2020. Then I started playing. I was doing like 40, 50 rounds a year, which was like just like all the way back into it. And then about 2 years ago, I met up with Stacy Padula, who is the owner of Briley and Baxter Publications, who is publishing the book. Her and I grew up together, and she has published about, I think, like 10 or 11 young adult books. And she said, "Listen, this is my process for it. If you can write a book, bring me back a manuscript." And a year later, I was right back in that coffee shop with the manuscript, and it was a pretty quick process to be like, she's like, "I love this book. I want to promote. I want to publish it. Go with it, and go from there." So overall, it probably took me about 2 years to from pen to paper to having a finished product. So, but it was just one of those things that I always felt like it was inside me, and I didn't know how I was going to go from writing like quick news stories to a full book. And as you've read it, Trey, it's not a very long book. It's a novella.
No, yeah.
I wanted to create like a quick story that had impact. I don't think anyone has time to read War and Peace right now. So like this is the way that I wanted to create a book that was like it was a digestible story that you could come back to it a year from now or 2 years from now where you're like, oh, I want to read something and oh, I remember this took me a couple reads to get through. And like that's the way that I wanted to kind of write the book.
I read it. Basically, it was a flight to Dallas down back, and then I think a return flight one time from Dallas. So, I mean, a real easy read, about 100 pages. But the book is fiction, though. Why? Why that?
I think that, I don't know. I think it mirrors my life in a lot of ways, but like I also, I mean, I wasn't at a level where I'm going to qualify for US Open or I wasn't a junior player that was like just had all these extravagant like wins at their home course. I think my dad has struggled. I have struggled. It's a very fictionalized story of like a struggle between a father and son. But also being a sports writer, when I first came up, I was covering high school sports, and I used to have to sit in the stands and cover games, and I would see a lot of just things that parents would say or how they just interacted, and I'm like, this something's just not jiving here. Like, you know what I mean? So how do I write a book where there is a struggle in it? And also I wanted to write it from a perspective of a golfer. Like when you're in the heat of the moment, and I've been there, I've competed and trying to get the PGM program, I've competed at a high school level. You are in your mind, and that's it. And that's kind of the way that I wrote wrote Jake's character. It was like you are experiencing everything from his perspective, from coming out of the zone that he was on the 18th hole to being like, oh my God, I'm in the middle of this like this storm of how do I close out this tournament? And pressure pack situations in golf kind of always happen that way. So yeah, I mean, I think that there is a lot of me in the story. I mean, every character is based off somebody in my life. Jonesy is based off of my buddy Jeff, who actually had a fungal infection and almost died about 2 years ago. I've lost two very close friends to a drunk driving accident, and like I think a lot of it was I've been part of like that. Like I know that friendship piece and how important it is for me to have people around in my life that are on the friend level. And then I think that my dad's character and then Tom. my golf coach is based off of Tom Kubicki. So
Yeah.
it really was like a just a fictionalized version of my life. And so that's kind of the way I approached it.
Well, and it is a very interesting book in how it starts out with, okay, here we are, we're trying to qualify at a US Open, regional qualifying, not even the sectional. This is the regional qualifying where you move on to sectional, which would be 36 holes, and then potentially the US Open. But then as you start the book out, it kind of changed because then you bring in the other aspects of what has happened with Jonesy and his wife Bree and your struggles with your father, and all of that is kind of intertwined. And then you go back to, okay, well, now we're in the fairway. Oh, we're the ball's in a divot in the middle of the fairway. Everybody hates that, but I think that it is a solid, good read because it kind of takes you through what a player would be thinking. I mean, I've been there thinking the same things that are in this book.
I think I mean I think it can relate to any golfer, right? Like it doesn't need, you don't have to be competing in a tournament. You can co be
For
competing against your buddies on a Sunday or
a
like
dollar.
for a dollar, or you're on the member or the member guest, and it's like, oh my God, there's 100 people around me staring at me like that. I'm 100 yards out. I've hit the shot 1,000 times, but like I've never had this many people looking at me to accomplish this feat. So yeah, no, I just the way, like my favorite movie of all time is Rocky. And just
Yeah.
like this, like Rocky is not a, it's a movie about boxing. It's a story about boxing. But at the end of the day, it's a story about a guy. And that's kind of the way I wanted to write Level Par, is like this is a story about a guy figuring out how to navigate life, how to be better at life, how to be better with himself, how to show up for people, how to show up for himself mostly, but and to also have this little white ball right in the middle of all of it is really what I wanted to kind of create.
I like it. I love it. My question is this a book that a non-golfer could pick up and understand? Do you think they could understand it?
I do, yeah, and I tested the theory. So my publisher is not golf related at all. But also, I've been sending out books kind of all over the country to people who I've met and at the post office. And I was chatting up with the guy who's at the post office, and I said, "Chris, so you a golfer?" He's like, "No." I'm like, "Are you a reader?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm a big time reader." I'm like, "Here's a book. Let me know what you think." And he's like, "Oh, really? You sure? Like, I'll pay you for it." I'm like, "No, please just take it." I signed it for him. And then I came back like a week later to get more books, and he's like, "I really like that." I'm like, "Oh, interesting." I'm like, "So you didn't, it wasn't too like golf heavy. It wasn't," he's like, "No." He's like, "I resonated with a story about a guy who's struggling, and it could happen in any aspect of life. It could be happening in sports, it could be happening in work, it could be happening in family life too, is right? Like, so how do you look at a challenge? How do you get over it? And how do you show for yourself to continue to kind of grind towards that goal that you have?"
Right. And Tom, I think that everybody knows someone that has struggled at some point in their life and they need a pickup. And this could be one of those pickups too, that is like, don't give up, keep going. There is a purpose for you in your life, with your life, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that that's a struggle that I still deal with every single day, right? Like, I mean, I think that, we are we're just human at the end of the day. Like, how do we continue to show up for ourselves? I mean, that's something that, I've had to do a lot of times to just be like, this is not great. How do I not go down a road where I used to go down? Not to say I'm not like fully sober, but like I have such a different perspective of how like I want to treat myself, and it's really refreshing to kind of go in that direction. So but yeah, no, I just hope that people pick it up and kind of resonate with it in a lot of different ways, and non-golfer golfer, it really just it's a labor of love for me, and I just hope other people kind of feel the same way.
The fact that it is a fiction book, but there are so many parts of it that relate to actual events that have happened, kind of makes it different than a true fiction book.
For sure. I think that there is just elements of both, right? It's the element of the human struggle. I also didn't want to be like this fictionalized version of Jake Seven sitting on the 18th hole of the US Open, right? I wanted it to be like This could be anybody because you all you have to do is qualify with your numbers. You just have to be
Yeah, your
good
handicap.
enough. Yeah, your handicap has to be good enough. And we see it all the time. I mean, when I was covering the Mass Golf stuff here in Massachusetts, there was guys who were bankers. There were guys who were just taking a couple of days off from PTO to play in the Mass Open, right? Like, or they would go and be like, "Hey, I'm a 0.2 handicap, or I'm a plus one. I'm gonna put my name in and see if I can go hang with the big boys for a day." And you never know what's gonna happen. And you know, all you gotta do is catch lightning in a bottle. I think we saw it with Michael Block on the tour and the PGA Championship a couple of years ago. Like that, what a story that was for him
Yeah.
to come out of nowhere. But I think these stories happen more often on that local level that we're just not hearing about. And then you know, if you go watch like the Golf Channel, especially around the US Open qualifying times, you know, there's so many amazing stories of guys who are getting through, who are breaking through, or just like go watch a guy compete in a Monday qualifier and like come through and be like, "Oh, I'm competing in the John Deere Classic this week." It might not mean anything to the guy who is making 10 million a year, but this guy who is like put his life on the line to continue to grind this away. Like just think about like JJ Spahn who won the US Open last year. Like he was close to quitting golf, or Ben Griffin. I think he did quit golf. Like the all there is a maniacal way about this game that will eat you alive, but like all it takes is one round to kind of get you back and feel good about yourself.
I have some buddies that I played some amateur tournaments with here in the state of Arkansas and really, really good. And I thought, okay, this is someone that can really make it. This person is going to make it in professional golf. And now they're not playing professional golf. It's they're playing it more recreation. And some have been burnt out on it before, but it happens. It happens. And every year, though, you will see it specifically U.S. Open, like you talk about in level par, someone will make it through that you never thought would be there.
And I think that to your point about the burnout, like it's such a real thing. It happened to me. And I think the burnout was you know, doing 2 years of golf and realizing like I'm not getting any better. I also don't have anyone who's like really in my corner to help me out. And I also had the zero discipline to get that done or like seek that out. And I think when you don't see the results that you want to in this game, I think even like look at like Max Homa a couple of years ago, he was like openly talking about his struggles and the fact that he's like, "I don't even know if I want to do this anymore." And I think every golfer who competes gets to that level. And some do it in a healthy way, and then some do it in the way that Jake Stedman used to do in level par, where you just kind of like crush yourself. And I think the golf industry, especially if you work in the golf industry, is a tough grind for a lot of people. Like even just to become a head pro, you know, you're not making any money. You're not like you're grinding away. Like when I worked at TPC, like making like $8 an hour, right? Like, and then you make tips on the side, and it's like, how do you survive on that? And you really have to love what you're doing, but a break can happen if you stick with it. And I think that I didn't stick with it long enough to have a break. But I think that you know, I've kind of had a nice little redemption thing to have a better like perspective of how I want to play golf and when I want to play golf and how I want to network and how I want to like I just want to be around good people who all feel the same way about this game. And I'm hoping that this book can kind of bring a lot of people together. I wanted to write a book that was a lot about men's mental health too. There's just not a lot of resources out there for people who are struggling with something. You know, I've had friends that have struggled. I've struggled myself. And you know, the last thing you want to do is not lend a hand to somebody who is going through it. And I think that what I wanted to convey in the story too was you know, a healthy masculine kind of relationship between men who can lean on each other and be vulnerable and also just like know that you got somebody in your corner. Because a lot of times, like we as men, we don't have that. And we just feel that we don't have that. And I think that's the way that Jake, you know, as you have read, that he gets to some really, really dark places. And there's a point of no return, I guess. And how do you, if you're all alone, you know, what are you really thinking in those situations? So it's a It's a message that I hope a lot of people take, men, women, doesn't matter, like high school kids, like somebody, like I just know that for every and if you go back to the father son thing, like for every Earl and Tiger Woods and you produce this amazing golfer, there's probably a million kids who like go down the road of Jake Stedman and like don't respond the same way that Tiger did. So that's another reason why I wanted to write it.
100%, 100%. The book comes out February 17th is when it's released. There is a website.
Levelparbook.com. I'm
Okay.
on Instagram at level underscore par. I just kind of started toying with a podcast idea, so I'm trying to like meet some people in the game and kind of like do what you do and just get the word out. But basically, I'm just trying to reach as many golfers. I'm actually heading down to the PGA show, so I was able to kind of secure like a media pass, and I'm gonna go down and meet people and bring the book and just try and get some groundswell around this game. And I really appreciate you having me on the podcast, because it just you never know like who's gonna read it. And we kind of sent that out to a big net of people, and I'm glad that you felt some way about it, that you wanted to read it and bring me on the podcast. So it helps out a local author who like just got a little bit of a dream, and I don't know where it's gonna go, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, no, it's a great book. I really enjoyed it, and thank you for sending me the copy and everything. And I think people are really going to enjoy it. Before I let you go, a couple of questions that I ask all of my guests. Your
Sure.
best golf course you've ever played?
St. Andrews.
Oh yeah, right there with you.
I
Right
played
there
2
with you.
years ago. We're going out again. I have a very good friend who brings out a group of us, and we stayed on the 17th hole
Yeah, the old
in the
course hotel.
hotel.
Yep.
I shot 84.
Nice.
I doubled the first because I was nervous as hell. And then I went like, I think I was like two over for the next 12 holes. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna like break 80 at this pristine place. And then I doubled a couple coming home. And
Oh,
yeah,
shoot.
just got yeah, no, I doubled. I hit it very well over the 17th. And I put it in the fairway, and then I just messed it up from there. Just like all my buddies had shown up and they were like cheering me on, and like, no. But yeah, St. Andrews by far.
Kind of like Jake in the book, too many people
Kind of
around
like Jake in
watching.
the book. Yeah, honestly,
That
like I think I hadn't finished the book when I played St. Andrews, so a lot of it is just, I remember just having a breakthrough one day, and I just wrote most of the book, and it just kind of came pouring out of me. And it was post trip to St. Andrews. I don't know, maybe there's something magical about that place. It really is.
There is the people around 18 when you're putting and, finishing up your round. All right, fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play a round of golf with, who would they
Ooh,
be?
I mean, I guess you'd have to throw Tiger in there. As a kid growing up, poster on the wall, Tiger Woods. I'd throw my dad in there, let him play with Tiger and myself. And then I feel like I should pick like an author or something, but you know what? So Sylvester Stallone, guy's a man. I love
There you go.
him.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I like to
All
talk
right.
to my book, but also like I've probably watched Rocky movies like at least 350 times. So
Wow. That's awesome. Tom, I can't thank you enough and love the book. And hopefully there will be more coming.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, you never know. But I appreciate you having me on.
This is Justin Akery. If hand or wrist pain is getting in the way of your daily life, it's time to see the specialists at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Their fellowship-trained hand and wrist surgeons treat everything from arthritis and fractures to nerve injuries and carpal tunnel. And with Arkansas's only hand trauma telemedicine program, advanced care is available around the clock. Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
That's all the time for this edition of From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. If you are interested in getting a copy of Level Par, it comes out February the 17th. You can pre-order it now. Go to levelparbook.com. That's levelparbook, all one word, .com. I think you're going to enjoy it. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, always fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you when it warms up sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.